my favorite realities is songs. Songs. I said that right. So I've got my Easter songs on that were a present for this year. If you can't see, it's the stone rolled away from the door of the tomb. And at the top, I might be showing too much leg. It says, "He is risen indeed," which is so much better than the socks that I had last year. Not because I don't like them or that the person who gave them to me was any less important to me, but they're brown. Who makes brown socks the priests are going to wear? We wear black all the time. It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, these are perfect. I just love them. He is risen. The stone is rolled away. What was the end has now become the beginning. It's all turned around. In fact, this is just the beginning. It all really just starts here. It's been told so many times that it's almost become the stuff of legend in the diocese that a young boy, after the Gloria is sung at the Easter Vigil and all of the pomp and circumstance, the trumpet and everything, glory to God in the highest, the whole nine yards, the little boy is heard in the back saying, "Thank God that's over." We have a little one up here who sometimes says things which he'll wind up in homilies in the future, I am sure. Thank God that's over. Thank God Lent is over. And yet, it's just begun. Easter is longer than Lent. Easter is the beginning of our new life. It is good that we have passed through the desert, but there is so much more. The power of Christ risen from the dead is meant to live within us, call us to a new way of life at every moment of every day. It is either true and unimaginable, or it is false, and God, or Christ, who we think of as God, was either a liar or out of his mind. But if it is true, sisters and brothers, if it is true, this reality here, this one blip on the calendar of the world, means everything. I have a suggestion for both parents and godparents and grandparents and great-grandparents. One of the wonderful things that you can do for the children in your life is to buy for them either the book and or the movies, the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, which starts with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but there's a whole series. It's an excellent reality that draws children and adults into this experience of the lasting effect of Easter. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which, by the way, one might suggest, well, you should watch The Passion of the Christ during Holy Week. But I tell you what, when I watch The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I might tear up a little bit during The Passion of the Christ. But I tell you, I'm bawling like a baby during The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It is the story of our salvation. The White Witch, the ruler of the world, she has inflicted the people. She has turned many of them to stone, and the world is cold and dark. And into that arrive our heroes and this whole array of battle and hope and despair, glory and tragedy. It all takes place. And then Aslan, the lion, who represents Christ, sacrifices himself to save the traitor amongst them. He sacrifices his life just as Christ would have sacrificed his life for one. For one. Would have gone through all of this that we have experienced in this last week for one individual. He sacrificed his life, Aslan, for this one young boy who betrayed him. After he is raised from the dead, he goes to into the camp of the enemy. He enters into the very depths of the White Witch's kingdom, where all of these heroes and those who have gone before are frozen stiff in stone, and he breathes on them. Imagine that in a world of a pandemic. He breathes on them. The life word is, the spirit is poured out, and they come alive again. That is what Christ has done. He has gone through death. Sisters and brothers, the enemy is wicked and conniving and very intelligent. But the enemy is also prideful. And in this moment, when the enemy believes that they have won, they have lost. What has become a defeat is in reality a victory. By entering into the castle, this stronghold of the enemy, Aslan is able to release those who had already failed. Their lives had been claimed by the evil one, and they were there for eternity. And he set them free. And in fact, they were able to come and join the rest. To add their song, their skill, their desire to that final battle. It's in this reality that we enter into to recognize that those places that are stone, cold, and dark within our own lives, whatever it may be, put it in the tomb of Christ. Mary Magdalene, Peter, John, all of these disciples, they go to the tomb. It is a place of defeat. It becomes a place of victory. Imagine what it must have been like. In that depth of sorrow, in that despair, and to realize in one moment, it's all turned around. What had been the ultimate tragedy has become the glory of all salvation. And we too can go to that tomb, take those areas and place them in that same place. And forgive me, almost like a sacramental microwave, what is frozen and useless and cold comes out. Revealed for what it truly is. Christ desired this. Because that's what Christ does. He takes the victory of the enemy and he turns it into his own victory. We celebrate that today. We celebrate that every day of our lives because it is true. I believe it with everything. He rose from the dead. See, and that our hearts have an opportunity to live again. Let us rejoice. Give thanks, Christ, to work.